Jesus. Amen. What is it that you know about the Holy Spirit? I challenged our young people at their New Year's gathering to learn something new about their Christian faith in 2012. In other words, go outside of your own comfort zone and pick up a good book about what you believe about Christianity and read it and learn something about what you believe in your faith. Well, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? I want to give you some quick thoughts about the Holy Spirit. You might want to jot these down on the sermon note sheets that's provided in your bulletin. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, please, as a Christian, don't picture the Holy Spirit as this cosmic force out there. You know, like in Star Wars, may the force be with you. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the person of the Holy Spirit lives in you as a follower. He has intellect. He has feelings. He has a will. Therefore, he is a person. Secondly, he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's as much as God as God is God. He's as much as God as Jesus Christ is God. He is God. As a matter of fact, over in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, when Peter was talking to Ananias and Sapphira, who lied about selling some property and how much they gave, he said, "You've not lied just to the Holy Spirit, but you've lied to God, the Holy Spirit." And then he created all things. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters." The Spirit of God was involved in the creation aspect of everything that you and I see around us today. He recorded scriptures. And in 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "There is no prophecy of scripture that came by man's own personal interpretation, but by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit was involved in recording scripture. He was involved with Jesus' birth. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, who was impregnated then by the sperma of God, and therefore the Holy Spirit was active, an active agent in that process of the birth of Jesus Christ. In Luke 4, chapter 1, he filled Jesus Christ. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit came down upon the person of Jesus. And then he indwells Christians. He indwells us. Every one of us who have called upon Jesus Christ for salvation have received the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that when I became a Christian. I didn't understand that for years until after I'd been growing as a Christian, that actually the Spirit of God has taken up residence inside of me. And when we talk about, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in you, so the Holy Spirit can get these fruits out of us. So we're indwelled with the Holy. He seals us unto the day of redemption. Then he's the postage stamp on our lives that says that we're going to get from this side of glory to that side of glory. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then it says we're baptized as believers into Christ's body. You know, if you took this bottle is filled with water this morning. And that water was put into this container. You and I are put into the body of Christ by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. And then he gifts believers with special graces. We call those spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Ephesians 4:11, 1 Peter 4:10. He gives us the abilities that we have to minister in the body of Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is mentioned in both testaments. In the Old Testament, he came upon certain individuals. He didn't indwell them. He came upon them for their ministries. He came upon Joseph. He came upon Joshua. He came upon Daniel. He came upon certain judges in the book of Judges. But in the New Testament, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit filled the believers on that day. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 later in the service. So it's important for us to understand as we look at Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32 this morning, that what we're going to be studying today has a far wider, far more implicated idea than what we probably can even comprehend today in our minds. In other words, there will be a wider outpouring of the Holy Spirit than we can ever imagine, The Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit filled people in the New Testament. But there's coming a time in the future that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in such a way that it's going to make everything that we understand today look very small. Very small. Old Testament times and the day of Pentecost will look relatively minute compared to what God is going to do in the future when the Holy Spirit comes upon the remnant of Israel, the house of Israel. So what is God going to do? Dr. Charles L. Feinberg, who was a Hebrew scholar, said if you looked at Joel chapter 2 in the Hebrew Bible, you would discover verses 28 through 32 make their own chapter. They'd be chapter 3 of the book of Joel. And then chapter 4 would be chapter 4 of the book of Joel. In other words, these five verses, 28 through 32, are such significant verses that they literally make up their own chapter. They make up their own chapter. And we're going to be looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit and as we look at this major message from the minor prophets. First of all, in your outline this morning, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Look at verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Look at those words, and it shall come to pass afterwards. What is meant by it shall come to pass afterwards? Well, most Bible teachers say that what we're looking at here is the time when Israel will be brought back into their land. And we know right now that Israel is not in their land. There are a lot of Israelites in their land, but not all Israel is in their land. As a matter of fact, there are more Jewish people living in the city of New York than there are living in the state of Israel. More Jews today. But there's going to be a time in the future, a time when Israel, all Israel, has returned to their land. I've also read that most scholars believe that what we're looking at here is a time following the Great Tribulation period when God will pour out His Spirit on Israel. They point out that Joel isn't the only prophet that spoke about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the people of Israel. You look in your scriptures, Isaiah 32, Ezekiel 36 and 37, Ezekiel 39 and Zechariah 12:10 all talk about a future time in which God will pour out His Spirit on the Jewish people. Now underline the words all flesh. All flesh. What is mentioned by all? What is the meaning of all flesh here? Well, it's talking about your sons and your daughters. What does it say about the sons? They're going to prophesy. And it says there, and your old men shall dream dreams. I found that fascinating, that old men would dream dreams and that young men shall see visions. Now listen, when the Holy Spirit has been poured out on Israel, it will be very evident. Why will it be evident? Because sons and daughters will be prophesying. That is, that they will be receiving messages from God and sharing those messages with other Jews. Old men will be dreaming dreams. That, I believe, means that old men will no longer be given over to the idea that, nothing's going to change. It's just, you know, this is the way it's always been and always will be. Not anymore. The old men will start dreaming dreams again. Do you know, I can remember, can I share something with you? And hopefully you won't think, what a crazy man. When my wife and I were married, I sent President Clinton an invitation to our wedding. I thought maybe he might come, you know, who knows? Well, I also sent out 200 letters to the 200 largest churches in America, asking them if I could come and speak at their church. You know, what was my point here? My point is this: when you're young, you dream dreams. And then somewhere along in life, as the older you get, the less dreaming you do. Are you following me? All of a sudden, you start thinking, you know, that's probably never going to be a reality. I've never had the 200 largest churches in America contact me and say, hey, we want you to hear for a week. You know, I've never had that. And that's all right. That wasn't God's plan for me. But when I was a young man, I had great big dreams. That's the point I'm trying to make. I had big dreams. And here we have these old men, when the Spirit of God, and that's going to be evident, when the Spirit of God is upon Israel, the old men will be dreaming dreams again. And they'll be able to say, this is what God is going to do for us. And it goes on to say, not only will the old men dream dreams, but it says your young men will see visions. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And when you go and you dig into that proverb and you discover what it means, it says, without a prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraints. Do you know what that means? It means if you don't have young men who are receiving prophetic revelation from God, receiving a message from God, people just kind of throw up their hands and they say, you know, God's not speaking anymore. Let's just go do our own thing. And what's going to be evident when God pours out His Spirit upon Israel is that the young men are going to be receiving these prophetic revelations from God. They're going to be receiving a word, a message from God, and people will know it came from God. So the Holy Spirit will play a significant role during the tribulation period, specifically in the life of the Jews. The life of the Jews. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will be poured out not only on all flesh, but be poured out on servants. Of all people, servants. Look there at verse 29. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. You see, God reassures Judah that there's coming a day when the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, sons and daughters, old men and young men, but also on all servants, male and female. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. Everyone in Israel will have a word to share about what God is doing amongst His people. How exciting is that for the nation of Israel? You know, they're blinded today. They're living with scales on their eyes today. They don't see Jesus Christ as their Messiah, but there's coming a day when God will deal with His Jews, His people, and He will pour out His Spirit upon them, and the men servants and the maid servants will have a word from God, and they will be sharing that word with the rest of the Jewish remnant and the rest of the Jewish people. Well, that's pouring out the Holy Spirit in the latter days, but there's a second area that Joel discusses as he brings this second chapter to a close. Not only does he talk about the Holy Spirit here, but he talks about that coming terrible day of the Lord. And so that brings us to point two on our outline, the coming day of the Lord. Look at verses 30 through 32. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Well, what is the day of the Lord? What's that going to look like? What's that day going to look like? It's going to be a time where there's supernatural events that are occurring in the heavens and in the earth. Well, what type of events? Well, it says in verse 30, I'll show wonders. And you might put a little notation in your Bible. That word wonder means signs. Signs. I'm going to show you signs in the heaven. Just like the rainbow was a sign, God says, I'm going to show you signs, wonders in the heavens and the earth. And it says blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So there's going to be these wonders, these signs in the heaven of blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And as I was preparing for this message today, I thought, well, you know what we're looking at here? The results of war. The results of war, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Surely during the tribulation period, there's going to be a lot of war. There's going to be a lot of blood spilt. Fire will be devouring things. And there will be a lot of pillars of fire, pillars of smoke going up. into the sky. And these are possibly preliminary signs and wonders in the heaven and the earth. Look at verse 31. Notice what it says there. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So these are preliminary signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. But the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Well, what would turn the sun into darkness? Smoke. Put enough smoke in the sky, the sun's turned to darkness. I remember that taking place when Mount St. Helens blew. And what will turn the moon into blood? Smoke. Put enough smoke in the sky, and at night when the moon's trying to shine through, it's red. You see, smoke is the result of things being destroyed. And then thirdly, on your outline this morning, the ultimate purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the day of the Lord. This is so good. Please focus in on verse 32. This is so good. This is a fantastic verse. It says there, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to write in your notes Romans 9, 10, and 11. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is this parenthetical passage of Scripture sandwiched between sin and salvation and sanctification, and then in the book of Romans 9, 10, and 11, the sovereignty of God. 9, 10, and 11 in the book of Romans is all about how God is going to bring His people to Himself. That's why it's called the sovereignty section. God is sovereign over people. Jews and Gentiles alike will be placing their faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And isn't that great? It shall come to pass. Even during the tribulation time, it will come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 10. You have the book of Acts and then you have the book of Romans, and turn to the 10th chapter and look at verses 9 through 13. It says in these verses, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. And then look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Bible teachers believe that what we're looking at here is that time when the nation of Israel will be restored, when all of Israel is back in the promised land. And this is now Israel calling upon the Lord for salvation. Israel recognizing their Messiah, and they call upon Him for salvation. And I love the words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am so tired of people who argue with one another in the Christian faith about whether there's this election process or whether everybody can be saved. Whether God died, Jesus Christ died just for the elect, or Christ died for everybody. People argue about that all the time. My Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That's Jew and Gentile alike. You see, there's coming a time when whosoever will call upon the Lord, they will be saved. And that is the bottom line, that God wants to see people saved. People need the Lord. Do we understand that today? Do we understand the urgency of the hour in which we are living in? Do we understand that we work around people that will probably go to a Christless eternity unless we are the ones who share the gospel with them? Unless we share. Unless we carry the gospel across the street to our neighbor, they're not going to be saved. Unless we carry the gospel. I want you to notice what it says there. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. Mount Zion is the old name for Jerusalem. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. Well, what took place in Jerusalem that has changed the face of the earth? The death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is still the focal point of world attention today, as it should be, because it is there that salvation originated, and is there that salvation will culminate in Jerusalem. Listen, I tell people all the time, today is the day of salvation. Today. And don't you put off today what you think you can do tomorrow, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know. None of us have a corner on life. None of us know when our time is going to expire. And today is the day of salvation. It says there, and the Lord had said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So friend, today is the day of salvation. A deliverer has come to us and for us from Jerusalem. So I want us to turn to Acts chapter 2. Because I think it's important for us to understand that Peter quoted from the book of Joel, chapter 28, on the day of Pentecost. And I want us to see that beginning at verse 14. I want us to read this because some believe that that day that we read about in the book of Joel was actually fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But I want to point something out to you this morning. In verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, and so it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now understand, please carefully observe what is not said. What is not said in this passage of Scripture. Peter said, notice what he says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Most of the time in the New Testament, if something in the Old Testament was being fulfilled, it will tell us it was being fulfilled. He would have said, but this is what was fulfilled by the prophet Joel. He didn't say that. He said, this is what was spoken of him. In other words, what we have here in the book of Acts is only a partial fulfillment of a greater fulfillment to come. A greater fulfillment to come. You see, it's been said like this. Pentecost was a sample of a greater day to come. Do you know, think about this. When Jesus said to his disciples, you're to go into Jerusalem and you're to go into the upper room and you're to wait there for the coming of the Holy Spirit. How many were gathered in the upper room? How many? 120. 120 were gathered in the upper room. Does that sound like the prophecy of Joel being fulfilled? When the Holy Spirit came upon 120 believers? Oh, whoo-hoo, whippee. I don't think so. 120 people being filled with the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. But it's not what it says there in the book of Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. And then you have to understand, Peter got up and he preached this wonderful sermon, and 3,000 more were saved. So now you have 3,120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and saw signs and wonders being performed around them. But that still does not add up to all flesh will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So please understand that it's significant for us to see this morning. Because there are Bible teachers that will go and say, well, the prophecy of Job was fulfilled back there in the book of Acts, the second chapter. No! And you have to understand the entire purpose of the tribulation period. And I'll share this in the conclusion. These are some take-home truths I want you to have today. Number one, get this down. Know who dwells in you. Know who dwells in you. Pick up a good doctrinal book and read up on the Holy Spirit. There are some great... Billy Graham wrote a good book on the Holy Spirit. Still available today. You can get it. You can go online and get it very cheap. It's a great book on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer. Better yet, pick up your Bible. Read through the New Testament. And every time you come across the Holy Spirit's ministry, highlight it. You know, you can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can vex the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit plays a significant role in our lives. Everything from helping us to understand the Bible, to serve in the church. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot understand this book apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And you cannot serve in your local church unless you are allowing the Holy Spirit to use the gift that He's given you. Listen to this. He will convict you. He will guide you. He will gift you. He will seal you. And you and I need to live in the light of God's Spirit being in our lives. Live in the light of God's Spirit being in our lives. Thirdly, the tribulation is not for the church, but for Israel. The tribulation is not for the church, but for Israel. God will use the tribulation to get His people to turn to Him for salvation. And once they are saved, He will pour out His Spirit on them. And this is where Israel will receive real authority and real power. By the way, where does our authority and our power come from? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes into our life, we have authority, we have power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And number four, this is the fourth take-home truth today, is the Holy Spirit is powerful in the church today. And understand that just how much more powerful He will be when He fills all Israel, and all Israel is saved and endued with this Holy Spirit power for kingdom living. Think about that. When the Holy Spirit is poured out on Israel, you and I, if we're not living consciously aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, we are probably not living this life to the full extent that we could be living it. That's the bottom line. If you and I are not living consciously aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we probably, listen, do you know what the Sermon on the Mount is all about? The Sermon on the Mount is about principles for kingdom living right now. Principles for kingdom living today. If you and I are not consciously aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and living in the light of that every day, we probably are not living to the full extent we could be in the kingdom living today, right now. We're living below par. Is that where we want to be? I don't think so. Is that where you want to be? Absolutely not. Get to know the Holy Spirit in you. Get to know the person who dwells in you. Get into your Bibles. Read the Scriptures. Find out the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, where is He mentioned first? Genesis 1, 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. All the way through the book of Revelation. Because He has a special place in God's program for all of us. Father in heaven, thank You so much for the time that we've had together this morning. And I just pray, God, that we would have sensed Your word to us today individually and collectively as a church. Father, we're not going to impact our community unless the Holy Spirit is involved. Unless we're dependent upon Your Holy Spirit, we can do a lot of things in our own flesh. We can spend a lot of energy. We can spend a lot of wills and not see a lot of progress. But God, when You're involved, things just explode. And it's so wonderful to see that. You know, if there is anybody here today who's never given their heart and life to Christ, They don't even understand maybe today that the Holy Spirit desires to indwell them, to fill them, to seal them. They don't understand today that they need Christ in their life. I pray even now, Father, that just in their own hearts, they know there's a God. May they call out to Him. May they simply say, God, would you be merciful to me? I am a sinner. I am lost. And I need Christ to save me. And I need the Holy Spirit to come into my life. And I believe when the Holy Spirit is in me, that my life will be different. And my life will be changed. And I pray this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.